Hi, this is Scott Stanley, DTG Ministries. I always want to remind you we're exploring the deep things of God. Why? Because we're living in the days of the great apostasy that was to come on this world, leading to the man of sin, the son of perdition, leading to the second coming of Christ. Literally coming. When we talk about Revelation 17, things can seem a little confusing, and I'm trying my best to simplify it. Today we're going to get into some of the harder verses in Revelation 17, and if we could just keep in mind that in the days of the apostles, the apostasy had already begun. That's irrefutable. That's 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 18, I believe, that we know it's the last time because Antichrists are already here. But apostasy is nothing new to the people who are serving God. Because if you go back to pre-flood and the days of Enoch and Seth and the people who were wanting to walk with God, the world was brought to a flood by God because of the apostasy. They apostatized from truth. And from there, you know, see, God calls out Noah. You have the flood. Nimrod is the next time of the apostasy. He calls out Abraham. Egypt is the next time the children of God are in apostasy. He calls out Moses. Babylon is the next time they're in apostasy. Calls out Zerubbabel, the time of Zerubbabel. Then you have Rome, the Roman Empire. And Jesus comes during the Roman Empire. And he calls out the 12 apostles who are going to carry the truth. And during the time of the apostles, they would be the sixth king time set. But during the time of the apostles, there is another beast head, another apostasy, that this one is described as going into perdition, which is the word Paul uses in 2 Thessalonians 2, where he talks about the son of perdition. I think it's verse 3. And we see, we know from history that it was Catholicism. And what's interesting is that the Protestant Reformation did not come out of Catholicism. It retained Catholicism in their heart. They still believed the Trinity. When they broke away from Catholicism, and the main thing that they were carrying was that destructive God concept, that God needed to have a blood sacrifice, a human sacrifice, before he could forgive us. And if you stop and think about it, that's paganism. That's what paganism is. The angry God needing to be appeased. So even the fellows who wrote the King James, and really every Bible since then, the people transcribing it, the people who are defining it, the people who are translating it, are carrying Catholicism in their heart. they see God as a Trinity, and they see God as needing a human sacrifice. And when you say, well, but God is love, yeah, but he's got to be just. He's got to be just with his... Well, see, that is just. He is just. He will never condemn a blind man for being blind. He won't condemn a crippled man for being crippled. And that is how he sees the world. You're blind, you're in darkness, and you're crippled. So he is not condemning anyone. We condemn ourselves because of the doctrines that we believe. We think he's mad. We think he's angry. Why? Because we would be mad and we would be angry if we were him. But Isaiah 55, he says, I don't think like you think. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm as different from you as the heavens are high above the earth. So therefore, we see through the scripture, especially when you come to Revelation, people who dwell in the heavens and people who dwell on the earth. People who dwell on the earth and in the sea are following their own understanding of God. If you're in the heavens, then you're understanding God the way he understands himself. And even then, we have a lack of understanding. We see that God does think different from us. But there's a place in Revelation 12 where there's a red dragon in the heavens, and that red dragon is Satan. So Satan has whispered in our ears things that we believe about God. He is in our heavens too. There has to be a way of removing the whisperer. There has to be a way of removing the dragon and Satan. And that is the cross, which we will get into these things. Right now, I want to take a look at Revelation 17, and let's just start at verse 7. And the messenger said unto me, wherefore did you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. We know the woman, according to the last verse, is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth, and that's Babylon. Verse 8, the beast that you saw was, now remember, this is apostasy, it was. Now in the days of the apostles, right now, it is not. But it's going to ascend out of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and then go into perdition. Paul calls that the man of sin. The next apostasy was Catholicism, to go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth are walking according to their own understanding, an earthly understanding, shall wonder, they'll marvel at it, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Remember, in Revelation 13:8, that Christ was slain, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Understanding his death, receiving his death, and what it was going to entail delivers you, it saves you from the whisperer. He died to destroy the works of the devil. They shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. There is no literal book It's the mind, it's the understanding of life, possessed, I believe, by the Father and the Son. From the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, right now it is not, and yet is, it's going to be again. So, in John's day, 5 kings had fallen. John was living during the time of the apostles, the 6th king. Verse 9, here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits, and mountains are doctrines. And I tried to cover in that last study how each beast head will retain the understanding of the one before it, but it keeps adding to it. Verse 10, there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. In John's day, 5 had fallen. He was living during the time of the apostles, the time period of the 6th king. There are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, and 1 is the apostles, the day of the apostles. The other king has not yet come. That would be the last generation church. When he comes, which will be those coming out of the apostasy, he'll continue a short space. Why a short space? Because the last time frame of a king is the last generation church, and it only lasts for 1 generation. That's why it's a short space. Every other king lasted multiple generations, but not the last one. It is a 1 generation movement, quickly turning to Zechariah 4. I just want to read you a couple of verses dealing with the end of the world and the last generation church. Verse 9, Zechariah 4:9, the hands of Zerubbabel. And what is Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel means born in Babylon. And all of us were, because it's been nothing but the apostasy all of our lives. The hands, the works of Zerubbabel, have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. It's a 1 generation movement. Now keep reading. And you'll know that Jehovah of hosts hath sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? And it is the people receiving the truth. This is the day of small things. And that seems to be one of the reasons people will reject us, the people carrying this truth of Jesus is really the Son of God. He did not die to pay your sin debt. See, this is the day of small things. One of the reasons they will reject you is they will say, well, you're only temporary. Look at these big churches out here. Are you telling me all of them are wrong? I can go in one of these churches, there's 5,000 people sitting in there, all praising God. And I see that, but I also know if someone walked in there and told them the truth, you probably wouldn't have 2 people left in there. They want to believe what they want to believe, and it doesn't matter what you show them in the Bible. This is the day of small things. Who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the stone of tin in the hand of Zerubbabel, with the fullness of understanding of the Lord, which runs to and fro through the whole earth. That stone of tin was used in building to keep things straight. So you might look at us and you might say, wow, you know, you're awfully small. How many people do you have in that church? Well, we don't have very many. But we have the stone of 10, and we're able to keep our building of the temple straight, and we're able to see it accurately. And God is delivering us from emotional turmoil and struggles, healing families, healing people in this church with truth. And he is destroying the works of the devil. And we are overcoming iniquity. And guess what? Titus 2:14, Christ died to redeem us from all iniquity. So the truth does work. You can see it in the last generation church. And you can be a part of it. But to do so, you really have to lay everything down. You have to approach the truth with the understanding. I've been in apostasy all of my life. I've never been told the truth. And I want to know what the truth really is. Now, if you can approach Christ like that, you'll get somewhere. But you know what? It's hard to do, isn't it? You have to begin to realize that what you're believing is not working. It doesn't save you from all iniquity. And you're not seeing the love of God that you would see if you would simply realize God is love, and love doesn't make a record of sin. Oh, it doesn't. Well, then why did Christ die? Well, let's get into that. See, you've got to approach God from that standpoint of total humility. I know nothing, please help me. The scriptures belong to you, Father. Please help me understand them. So, again, I want to look at verse 8 again in Revelation 17. The beast that you saw, there was an apostasy. Right now, during the time of the apostles, it is not. But it's going to ascend and go out of the abyss and go into perdition, which is Catholicism. And they that dwell on the earth who were not listening to God will marvel, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, where Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was, right now it isn't, and yet it is. It's going to happen again. Here is the mind which has wisdom. 7 heads, 7 mountains on which the woman sits. There are also 7 time frames of not being in apostasy. John says 5 have fallen. He is living during the 6th. One is, that was his day. And another is not yet come. That's the last generation church. When the last generation church comes, it will continue a short space. It's a one generation movement. The beast that was, right now it isn't, even he is the 8th and is of the 7 and goes into perdition. This is the only time in history where the 2 apostasies happen together. You have Catholicism, and coming out of Catholicism was the Protestant Reformation, but they continued in the apostasy. But they're different. They're different from Catholicism, but really in the core, they're the same. So that's why he says, even he is the 8th. Why the 8th? Because when they walked away from Catholicism, you could say for that time, they destroyed Catholicism. They walked away from it and said, we don't want anything to do with it. And that sixth head came back and became the eighth. So you still have two apostasy heads dwelling at the same time. They walk away from Catholicism, you could say slaying the head, but they too are in apostasy, still teaching Catholicism, allowing Catholicism to come back and become the eighth head. You still only have seven heads. The sixth became the eighth, showing you that Catholicism would come back with its apostasy and join hands with the apostate protesters. But notice, verse 11 again, the beast that was, right now it isn't, he is going to come back and become the eighth. He's of the seven. And he goes into perdition. Again, it's Catholicism. That same word perdition is used. Just like Paul did in 2 Thessalonians. Verse 12. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive authority as kings for 1 hour with the beast. What is he talking about? Ten is a number that I began to realize is an understanding. It's like God's understanding. But you can have God's understanding sanctified and God's understanding unsanctified. As we grew up in the apostasy, what we thought God understood, or our ten, had a great red dragon in the heavens. Our ten, our way of perceiving God, was still apostasy. So when you have ten horns, if you look back at Exodus 34, and you see Moses going up to get the Ten Commandments, he comes back and his face did shine. His face shone. That word shone is the root. It's connected to the word horn. Why? Because it's a projection. He projected light. So what are you seeing here? You see ten horns. They are projecting their understanding of God. And they will connect with the beast, which has become the eighth. They will connect with Catholicism. Let me read this again. Verse 11. The beast that was and is, he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and he goes into perdition, Catholicism. The ten horns, or this false projection of God, which you saw are ten kings, kings carrying the understanding of God differently than the beast heads, but still the same thing. The only way you can identify that, the only thing that makes sense, it isn't Catholicism. It's apostate Protestants, but they teach the same thing. They just don't have the Pope. They have received no kingdom as yet, as John is writing this. The apostate protesters, they have received no kingdom yet, but they will receive authority as kings for 1 hour with the beast, and an hour is an experience. An hour isn't an actual, literal hour. Remember when they came to get Christ, and he said, it's the hour of evil. or the hour of the authority of darkness. You see this in Luke chapter 22, verse 53. He says, this is your hour. Did he mean an actual, literal 1 hour? No. It's referencing a period of time. This is your hour and the authority of darkness. Well, taking that understanding and applying it to Revelation 17, 12, the apostate protesters in John's day had received no kingdom as yet, but will receive authority as kings for 1 hour with Catholicism. These have one purpose. They'll give their abilities and authority to the beast. Now, why refer to it as the beast? Because this is the same beast that we're seeing in Revelation 13. That you'll see a lion, a bear, and a leopard. And we'll get into that probably in the next podcast. These have one purpose. They give their ability and their authority to the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him, the last generation church, are called, they're chosen, and they're faithful. He said, the waters which you saw where the whore is sitting are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. You see the whole world. And this beast ascending out of their mind, out of the bottomless pit. Because they have rejected God. They have rejected truth. And it's happened all through history, as Revelation 17 depicts. To close this podcast, let me just simply say, we can look at history and see what happened. And God is not going to give us a prophecy like Revelation 17 without supporting it from the Scripture. And looking at history through the Scripture, we see the beast, and we see the kings. And we have 1 John chapter 2 telling us about the great apostasy. And we can see in the great apostasy, they deny Father and Son, and they deny Jesus came in the flesh. And we can see all of the universal churches basically believe the Trinity, and if you do, then you're denying the Father and Son in eternity past, and you're denying that Jesus came into this world without an understanding of God. He came in the flesh, in the fleshly understanding. It's easy to see if you'll simply humble yourself before God and receive the truth. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and He so loved you, He gave you His Son, that you wouldn't perish, that you could be delivered from all iniquity. You could be redeemed from all iniquity. We see the truth has been cast down, and the church redeems the truth. And it becomes truth that heals. We see this. You can't deny history and what the Scripture is saying about it. Gracious Heavenly Father, we desperately need quietness to think about these things and humility, and we need your Spirit to come upon us that we might be made free from all iniquity and be saved into your kingdom. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.